Welcome on in. It's the afternoon show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Jack Fritz and Ike Reese hanging out on this Monday afternoon. What's happening, Ike?
Fritzy, how about your boy?
The last iteration of this version of the afternoon show. Spike is finally making his way on down tomorrow. So proud.
Yes.
Of him. So proud of him. So Spike.
That is the rumor that he's coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's the rumor.
Obviously looking forward to that and continuing just the great stuff that we have here in the afternoons. But a lot to get into today. There's a big extension. The Sixers' first-round opponent's back. It's kind of like the boogeyman, but we'll get to that. But the thing that's really hit me today is this Phillies team. You know, they're still 500. They split against the Pirates, and I can feel it coming. Like, sometimes you got to have a read for the fan base. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And I would argue there's no one that has a better read on the fan base than me. Always know what to say at the right time.
I'm right there with you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks. Appreciate it. And this conversation about the team heading into the year, they're 8-8. Did we overrate the Phillies? Like, is this who they are? Are they a 500 team, or is there still a good to really good baseball team here, Ike? And I just got to say, I don't think we did overrate the Phillies. I don't think we've overrated the Phillies at all. And in fact, I think this is just a good team that is not playing well right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I totally agree. I don't know how many people are out there yelling that this is an overrated team or what have you. I'm sure some people are frustrated right now. This team sitting at 8-8, coming off of the game that they had yesterday where they seemingly just threw the ball all around the field. With sloppy defensive play, and Zach Wheeler probably did not have his best stuff going in the middle of that game yesterday. They split with the Pirates. You know, the disappointing factor of that series probably has more to do with what we previously may have thought about the Pirates coming in, even though they were 9-3 coming into the series. I still felt like it was a series that the Phillies could win 3-1, and they wound up splitting with them. So is that disappointing? Sure. You know, I understand frustration that's there. I'm not saying it's not warranted. But as far as giving up on the team and thinking that it's not a good baseball team, I'm nowhere near that conclusion. Nowhere near. I mean, I need to see a lot more baseball before I get to that conclusion. And when I say a lot more baseball, I'm saying deep into June. I mean, like, that's how much baseball I need to see for me to come to the conclusion that this baseball team isn't what I expected it to be. They've shown in the past that they get off to slow starts, and I'm not saying it's acceptable, but it's maybe that's who they are.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe that's just who they are.
It would be annoying. Like, I don't want them always being like, yeah, the slow starts, eh, whatever. You wake us up in June, that's when we'll get going. Because I would like a little bit of sense of urgency, but you're right, that might just be who they are.
Yeah, I mean, none of us want that, but it's which your options are: giving up on the season or drawing on what their history has been. And a team that's 8-8 with this much firepower offensively, and even with the pitching staff they have, including the bullpen, is not going to stay down for long. So I would caution everyone that's out there ready to jump ship and make some proclamation or declaration about this team is going to be this. Yeah, you may turn out to be right. They won't win the World Series. Maybe they don't win the World Series. I don't know. I'm just telling you, I haven't given up that belief that they can. Just yet.
215-592-9494 to get in. Did we overrate this Phillies team? And I guess I'm just like, what exactly did we overrate? Is it the offense? Are people worried about the offense? Is it so inconsistent that people can't they don't really know what they're getting on a night in, night out basis? Like, who on the offense should I be actually concerned about? It's Castellanos, sure.
Yeah.
But he's also traditionally a streaky guy. Johan Rojas.
Well, we felt better when his streakiness didn't show up to the second half. I mean, he erased a lot of angst from the 2022 season by getting off to a hot start last year.
Right. Big walk-off on Saturday, too, from Casty. So maybe that gets him going. Rojas? Yeah, I mean, Rojas might be a huge question mark. He's a guy that has never really been a plus-plus hitter, but I look at the rest of the
line.
He's
not a question mark for me. He is who he is.
He is who he is.
Yes.
He's essentially a pitcher batting ninth.
Yeah.
But the other guys that are struggling, Bryson Stott. Am I super concerned about Bryson Stott? No. I think he's a guy that's going to end the year batting between 280 and 290, and he'll be okay.
You,
He's got some work to do. He's got some work to do.
280, 290.
But that's that, I don't think
that's going to call for a hot bat for at least a month and a half.
I don't think we're getting a 240 to 250 season out of Bryson Stott. I think he's too talented of a hitter. I think he's had a bad start to the season. You know, Alec Bohm, you know, he's not hitting the ball out of the ballpark, but he's still doing the Alec Bohm thing. Mm-hmm. The little slap hits and stuff like that. And then there's the big fella, Bryce Harper. And I don't think anyone's really concerned about Bryce. And I got to be honest, like, someone's going to pay for this Harper run that's going to happen. You know, I think there's been a lot of Harper this. You know, he's 2-for-16 in the Pirates series. He didn't get a hit in the Cardinals series. If you take out the Cincinnati game where he had the 3 home runs, you know, his average is probably in the 170s. Yeah. His average on the season is actually below Johan Rojas, which seems like a huge problem.
Yeah.
But I think someone's going to pay for this Harper run because I think it's coming. You saw some things over the weekend, some good signs from that, and he's not going to stay down forever. And when he gets going, I think this whole thing starts to turn around very quickly.
Yeah, listen, I'm not worried about Bryce Harper at the plate, but this idea that it is now being floated out here, that first base
here
may be too hard for him.
There it is.
I mean, no, here's the thing, though. I was told that moving him to first base was to alleviate stress on him from a physical standpoint and playing defense. That's what I was told by all the baseball people.
Mm-hmm.
So that it was more stress for him out there in right field than it is at first base. Are we ready to switch that now?
No, he's got to play first.
Oh, no. I mean, are we ready? No, he wants to play first. But this idea that the physical toll over there at first base is a hindrance to him. You're not buying it.
I'm not buying it.
Okay.
I mean, I know some people could be. I think he's just got to figure it out. I think long term, for me, it's still the best spot for him. And defensively, he actually looks pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. But does that hurt him at the plate? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, so far, it's definitely not.
So you don't think playing first base has anything to do with him at the plate?
Well, I mean, it might. I think it's something that's right now it could be bothering him. But I think that as he gets more comfortable to it, I think he's going to be fine. Like, I'm not at the point where I'm pulling the plug on Bryce Harper playing first base.
Hmm.
It seems like you kind of are.
I don't know. You know, one moment I'm hearing about how difficult it is to be over there at first base, standing up, it hurts his back, everything else, and now it's hurting him at the plate. But yet you want to keep him at first base, even though it physically may be taking more of a toll on him.
Yeah.
Why do you want to keep him at first base?
Because I think it's his best position long term. And I think that – I think he'll –
Is it what's best for the team long term? I mean, in the short term. Sure, when he's old and gray, yeah, we can move him to first base like it was always planned to do. I would imagine he's at first base 5 years sooner than we expected him to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's definitely there earlier than expected.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm not giving him the cop-out for him at the plate by saying he's too tired from playing first base.
Okay.
I wanted to get going and to knock all this off.
Okay.
I mean, he wasn't playing first base in the postseason last year in game 6 and 7 when he didn't get a hit either. So
he wasn't playing first base?
No. Oh, he was playing first base.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
He was playing first base. I got ahead of myself with making an argument. But in all seriousness, though, like Harper does have to get going. Like, I'm not worried about it, but when you're going into this six-game stretch they have right now, which, by the way, I mean Rockies, White Sox, mm-hmm. anything less than – if they lose more than 2 games this week, it's a colossal disaster.
Yeah.
These teams stink. And, you know, we talk about Jalen's demeanor, right? You know, last year when things were kind of falling apart, people wanted Jalen to kind of step up and be more vocal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Bryce gets going like this, and you know, you saw on Saturday when he came in and he was throwing stuff, and Friday actually was the night that he was throwing stuff. You know, that kind of stuff makes it a tense clubhouse, and he did this last year too. Remember against the Tigers, he hit a couple balls to the wall and came in throwing stuff. Like that kind of stuff, I'm not a huge fan of. Like I know.
Love it.
Why do you love it?
Because it's who he is. He wears his emotions on his sleeves. When he's excited, you see it. He doesn't hide it. When he's frustrated, he doesn't hide it. It's who he is.
It is who he is.
So I love it.
My one fear is that it's like, oh my God, like Bryce is mad. You know, like take a deep stick. Don't go near him. Anything like that. And I can't have that as my star player.
Why?
Because I think that leads to everyone playing tight.
Well, guess what? It's the big leagues. This is Philadelphia, And he can only take so much of the blame for everyone else, meaning shielding everyone from being criticized. So him showing frustration, as long as he's not verbally lashing out at any of his teammates, throwing anybody under the bus, I'm perfectly fine with it. If everybody's going to ask me to accept Jalen's sort of reclusive demeanor and doesn't have to say anything vocally and doesn't have to come out of his shell, I'm not going to force the one guy who wears his emotions on his sleeve like this city has fallen in love with them from the time he's gotten here. I'm not going to ask him to bottle all that up now. No. If anything, I'd ask him to get it together at the plate. That's what he needs to do. I'm tired of hearing about first base, back, like all this other stuff. I just threw that out there because I wanted to see where you were at with the whole – because I'm starting to hear baseball people say this. Playing first base is hurting. It's taking a toll on him at the plate.
You're hearing a lot of not excuses, but answers, not excuses.
Yeah. I'm just – so, you know, I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering.
It can't be. I've seen players be able to handle first base that are in worse shape than Bryce Harper.
Yes.
Like we've seen big fellas over there play first base that can still go hit 58 home runs in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, I'm not doing it. I can't do it. I won't do it. He's got to figure it out.
Okay.
I want him there long term. He's been really good defensively. I want it. And I can't give him the I can't give him the excuse. I don't think he wants that excuse either.
Of course he doesn't.
No.
That's the one thing about him I never worry about. He's not making any excuses about anything. Everybody else.
215-592-9494. Did we overrate the Phillies heading into the season? And my final point here, Ike, is, you know, we talk about the offense and how inconsistent and how frustrating they are. I mean, this pitching staff, I think, is exceeding expectations. I know Wheeler had a hiccup yesterday. It was a bad inning, a bad pitch. It happens. That's going to happen. Nola's looked pretty good. Ranger's been fantastic. He was great Thursday night. Chris Sanchez has been pretty good, and Spencer Turnbull's been pretty good. So the starting staff, I think, has been better than people thought. And the bullpen's turning into, I think, the strength of this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get Kirkering back over the weekend. He looks pretty good yesterday. I'm more encouraged by the pitching staff than discouraged by the offense. Like, I think that once the offense gets going here a little bit, and they will, because I believe,
yep,
they are being paired with a pitching staff that is World Series ready. I mean, that pitching staff is World Series caliber. The bullpen is top to bottom, the best they've had since 08. And 08 had to close. They had Lights Out Lidge. They had the Bridge of Lidge. But other than that, it was like J.C. Romero career year, Scott Ayer, Chad Durbin, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of kind of journeymen. These guys have stuff. They got power stuff. And they can be a legitimate weapon heading into the postseason. So I'm actually more encouraged by this pitching staff than discouraged by the offense. 215-592-9494. Get in on the Phils to start off the show on Monday afternoon. Al's in Lumberton. What's happening, Al?
Yeah, we're 8-8. We're 16 games in. We're better than last year. And all this overreaction. Bryce Harper, he's a first baseman. He's an athlete. He's going to adjust and he's going to do well. Don't give me the back and don't give me this. Don't make excuses. And he won't make any excuses. He's a leader on this club. He sets the example. I don't know what everybody's worrying about. You know, I'm there. I'm watching him. And they're going to come through all this. You brought up a good valid point. The pitching is the key. And without the pitching, then you have issues. But we can hold our own with the pitching. And those bats will all wake up. We're a hot-hitting team during the weather. It's starting to warm up. The ball's going to go. And we're going to be fine. You know, so I wish everybody would stop getting nervous about this and that. There's other things to get nervous about. This team has got direction, and I think we're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, I certainly feel the same way. The one thing about Bryce, though, when we're talking about, you know, leadership and he's the face of the team, and I totally agree with all that stuff. They're also held to a different standard and are looked at a little bit differently. And there's been seems like more. To begin this year with the whole not busting it down the line to first base than we've seen in years past. Mm-hmm. Like, he's had it a couple times in the past, and it hasn't been a huge deal. And as soon as he started hitting, it all kind of went away. But the one part that worries me is that now the hitting's feeding into everything else. And now you're starting to see not always getting down to first base to beat out a double play, which they've grounded into a million double plays, it feels like, so far this year. Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of stuff I can't have. Because I think other people look at that and maybe they think it's okay, or it's like, again, it's a little sulky, and the hits will start falling, and he is the face of this team. That's the only kind of stuff that why he has to get going so it doesn't, you know, permeate through the whole team.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Whew. You're walking a tightrope with Bryce when it comes to, you know, giving him a pass for not putting forth the effort you want to see him busting it down the first baseline because emotionally he's not feeling he's upset or he's frustrated. Because in reality, that's usually when most guys don't hustle down the first baseline, especially the star players.
It's when they ground the ball.
It's when they ground the ball or pop it up or something like that. It's because they are frustrated with what they perceive to be an out at this time. And so because it hasn't cost them yet, we've kind of just, you know, we just let it go.
Yeah. But again, like,
meanwhile, Trey's busting his hump down the line every time.
Well, Trey, yeah, he's incredibly fast, and he's got the most infield hits in baseball so far this year.
Well, how do you think that happens?
By busting it down at first.
Okay, yeah. Let's not make excuses. Yes, he's busting it down the line, and he's a $300 million player. Is the point that I'm making? So it's not the guys who make the big money that when they're frustrated they don't bust it, because Trey still busts it down the line, right? Always does. Not just because he's fast, because he can easily, when he grounds it out or something like that, could jog down the first base $300 million. He's not going anywhere, but he doesn't do that. So I agree with you. That's where Bryce has to not allow this to, I think, become a trend. Once or twice, I don't think anybody is looking to get on Bryce about hustling. But like you said, if he continues to not hit well for the next 2 to 3 weeks?
I know.
And you see that over and over.
And I think
Castellanos is doing it.
And it's part of being the leader of the team is I feel like players can just sense it more.
Sure.
And when you're doing that kind of stuff, I think it does tighten up everyone else there. And that's what I don't want to happen. That's why I need him to break out of this, or it's the back. And what really I don't really buy into this idea he's not running down to first base hard is because of the back, is because there's times where he goes first to third and he's sprinting and he looks as fast as usual.
Right.
So I can't use the back as that's why he's just pacing himself. No. There's none of that, especially with how mediocre they're playing right now.
But it's funny because when J-Roe used to do that, we're like, well, he's out there. He's going to get a 600 at bats. He's out there for 140-something games.
He's posting.
He can't bust it down the first baseline every time he hits the ball to the right side of the infield. Nobody wanted to hear that.
No one wanted to hear it.
No one wanted to hear that. So, yeah, like you said, Bryce pacing himself or what have you. I think that's more or less people looking for ways to give him an excuse to not be critical of him.
I agree.
And we can do that for anybody that we like, right? Anybody that we like, we can find a way to justify why we won't be critical of them.
Right. I just think that the way they're playing right now and how they have to be doing all the little things right,
right,
that kind of stuff, I think, just adds up.
I agree.
And I definitely don't love it. 215-592-9494. We have a big thing to give away this week that I'm excited about. So every day this week, we'll obviously do Morning Show Side Topic. I'm sure Spike will continue because he's a Side Topic guy. But Morning Show Side Topic, no matter what, so if you win today or through the rest of the week, you will win a 2024 Eagles draft hat, which is a great prize. But if you also win, you are qualified for a grand prize drawing to win an autographed Jalen Hurts Midnight Green Eagles jersey courtesy of the Eagles Pro Shop on Saturday, April 20th. The Link will host a Jalen Hurts Kelly Green jersey signing event from 10 a.m. to 11:30. The first 150 fans who come to the store and purchase a Kelly Green Jalen Hurts jersey on April 20th will be able to have their jersey signed on site by Jalen. So Jalen's out there signing everything.
Well, I mean, if it's an event that's giving away his jersey, I would hope he would be there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So if you win, you'll get a draft hat. But you also
this weekend coming up.
Yeah, the 20th.
Okay.
Big stuff. You also be qualified for the grand prize drawing, an autographed Jalen Hurts Midnight Green Eagles jersey. So what we have for you today is yesterday I did something that I haven't done since, I would say probably about 10 years. And that is I had a catch. Just a nice old catch. With a buddy of mine. And I was thinking to myself, like, man, I miss being able to have a catch. And it was one of those things that I missed about childhood. you know, yeah. playing baseball growing up. It's the ability to just have a catch. You kind of take it for granted once you hang the cleats up. The ability to go, you know, warm up and all that stuff. The best answer by the end of the show, things you miss about childhood. For me, it was playing catch.
Roy Hobbs over here.
Yeah, I really did. No, I'm trying to lay it on like Field of Dreams. We're just having a catch in the backyard.
I tell you, one of the things I miss as a kid,
yeah.
especially since it ties into the weekend, getting up on Saturday mornings for cartoons is something as a kid. You couldn't wait Friday night, waking up Saturday morning.
What was the go-to cartoon for you?
Oh, man. You had Super Friends. I can't remember all these
cartoons. Was Tom and Jerry around?
Yep. But Tom and Jerry wasn't a weekend cartoon. That was a daily cartoon. That was an after-school cartoon. So that was on when I came home from school.
So what was the difference between a Saturday morning cartoon and a weekly cartoon?
Well, because Saturday mornings, you got like the Smurfs, you got the Super Friends, you got what are some of the other cartoons? Green Lantern.
The Green Lantern.
Yeah. I can't remember all of them. But
Scooby-Doo?
Was that a Saturday?
I don't know. Scooby-Doo, I think, for me, was Saturday.
That might have been a weekday. I don't know. Yeah. I just know Tom and Jerry was a weekday cartoon. Dennis the Menace was a weekday.
See, people growing up would still say, like, I think my generation was probably the last one to have a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
And I never could relate to them because, once again, I was watching SportsCenter.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't have SportsCenter as a kid. Yeah.
You had Howard's show or whatever it was.
Well, I didn't.
What was it called?
The Sports Machine?
The Sports Machine.
Oh, yeah. That was George Michael's Sports Machine. Yeah. Yeah, that was 11:30 at night. That's when you needed like a highlight show at 11:30, a sports show.
Yeah.
His was one of the only ones around the country.
What a trendsetter.
It was like syndicated.
Yeah. What an icon. 215-592.
George Michael or Howard Eskin. Which one?
Well, I called it Howard Eskin Sports Machine.
Okay.
Yes, gotcha. 100%. Although, for Insider of the Year purposes, you know, everyone missed the Devontae extension.
That's because you only get stuff that they want out.
Just saying. And keeping an eye on everything these days. So give us the answer. Best answer by the end of the show. Things you miss about childhood. You'll win an Eagles 2024 draft hat, and you'll be qualified for the grand prize drawing, an autographed Jalen Hurts jersey. Get in on that. Plus, did we overrate this Phillies team? We'll go back to your phone calls after the break here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.